This Week in America with Rick Bratton. Issues that matter to you. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Investigation Discovery's Tony Harris tackles crime and its aftermath as he returns to the scene of the crime. Tony Harris brings his Emmy-winning journalism background and desire to get to the truth back to Investigation Discovery for a second season of the hit series Scene of the Crime with Tony Harris. With each surprising twist, Tony uncovers new revelations, and he's our guest on today's This Week in America. Traveling to communities rocked by horrific acts of violence, Harris explores unbelievable injustices to better understand how these crimes came to be and why lives were forever changed. Tony Harris explores the injustices and crimes of small-town America, and he joins us next on today's This Week in America.
Want to fly somewhere? Looking for cheap flights or cheap tickets? Then call. That's right. Call the low-cost airline travel hotline now for prices so low, we can't publish them anywhere. Low-cost airlines has all kinds of cheap travel deals. Fly domestically and save up to 75%. You can even fly internationally and save even more. Yes, fly anywhere in the world and save a lot of money on your plane tickets. We'll even save you money with cheap travel deals on hotels, rental cars, even complete travel packages. So don't book your tickets until you call us first for the absolute cheapest prices on U.S. and international airline tickets and hotels. Call right now for prices so low they can't be published. Travel experts are here 24/7 to help.
Call 800-298-0306, 800-298-0306, 800-298-0306, 800-298-0306.
Do you owe back taxes to the IRS? Newsflash, the president has changed the tax laws, and now you may be able to pay the IRS less. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, the tax doctor can help you pay the IRS as little as possible allowed by law. There are new tax laws for business owners, the self-employed, even W-2 workers. If you have a back tax problem or a few years of unfilled returns, new help to save you money is now here. Call right now to see how the new tax laws can help you. Plus, right now, we'll waive the consultation fee and give you a free tax savings report. Attention business owners, the self-employed, and W-2 workers. Make this free call to the tax doctor now and learn how to take advantage of the new tax laws that may help you pay the IRS less.
800-659-5731. 800-659-5731. 800-659-5731. That's 800-659-5731.
Let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody. Coast to coast, This Week in America. Online, thisweekinamerica.us. Investigation Discovery's hit series, Scene of the Crime with Tony Harris, back for a new season, venturing deep into small-town America to reveal the deeper stories behind the crimes that shook communities, personal accounts from victims, even those accused, and reactions to the moments their lives turned upside down. Emmy Award winner Tony Harris is a news anchor, television correspondent, filmmaker. For over 30 years, he's reported on senseless and vicious acts of violence, a correspondent, anchor for local stations, syndication, networks, recently an anchor at Al Jazeera America. Prior to that, he anchored the flagship Al Jazeera News Hour from Qatar, becoming the first African-American anchor to be based outside the U.S. for a global news network. Tony anchored CNN Newsroom with Tony Harris, was a member of the CNN teams that earned George Foster Peabody Awards for coverage of the British Petroleum oil spill and Hurricane Katrina, an Alfred I. DuPont Award for coverage of the Southeast Asia tsunami, and now peeling back the layers of some of the country's most horrific acts of violence on Scene of the Crime with Tony Harris. Sundays, 10 Eastern, 9 Central on Investigation Discovery, and Tony is back with us on This Week in America. Tony, welcome back to the program.
Rick, do we have any time left for conversation? My goodness, that's a lot of stuff.
Well, it's your career. I didn't even touch it all. I didn't make any of that stuff up. It actually happened in the life of Tony Harris. I feel like Tony Harris, this is your life.
My.
But you know,
the
news.
Good to be with you, Rick.
Thank you. It's great to have you back with us. I was looking forward to having a chance to talk about season two. And what's really interesting is Scene of the Crime is a unique show, isn't it? I mean, it brings a whole new perspective to true crime television. It's more than just a murder story.
I'm glad you said that, because we, you know, when we were trying to figure out what we wanted to do with this program, you know, there are really smart people in television, and you use the phrase, I mean, how is it different? You know, what makes it unique? And, you know, we're always sort of looking for that new approach, that different take on the true crime genre. And what we settled on is, you know, hopefully playing to my strengths. And one of the things after the years at CNN I didn't want to do again is I didn't want to spend a lot of time behind the desk. And then what happens? I go and I work for Al Jazeera. But, you know, the reality of that situation is that I was covering the biggest story on the planet at the time, which was the Arab Spring. And
yes.
So I was anchoring newscasts in the Middle East, and that was an amazing time. But I had longed to sort of get back into the field and talking to real people. And I got that opportunity with Discovery ID, and first with the Hate in America series. And then, as you mentioned, Scene of the Crime, and now we're into a second season of Scene of the Crime, and you know how tough it is to get a second season in television. So, you know, we're really lucky and blessed, and it's a tribute to the work of the team. We just wanted this show to be as immersive as possible. And so, for me, that meant, look, I got to go. I got to go to where the crimes happened to the extent I can. I need to walk the steps of the investigators who worked on the on the actual case. I need to spend as much time as I can with the families who have had their lives turned upside down, and we got a chance to do that with this show. And the first season was terrific in that respect. We were able to spend a week with the families and detectives, and really sort of unravel the fight for justice. The second season, we've just ramped all of that up. I have firmly affixed my investigator hat. I am digging in to the extent I can to every document I can find on these murders. You know, we've traveled to small towns again, from Navasota, Texas. We're in Spokane, which is a bigger small city, but we're in Kinston, North Carolina, and again, we're talking about crimes that upended these communities. And the time we've spent and with the families, I feel like I know the lives of the kids of these families.
We do too as we watch. And what sets this apart is the fact it's not just retelling a story. We really get to explore the communities and the lives of the people impacted by these tragic and often challenging events.
Well, it feels good to hear you say that, because that was clearly one of the goals. We set out to make real connections with people. And look, they've made the most difficult decision, and that's to tell their stories to me. And you know, it's an odd thing. I got to tell you, Rick, these hours are beginning to feel more and more, and our showrunner sort of suggested this before I even thought of it, that these hours are the new way a lot of people can memorialize their and remember their loved ones.
Interesting.
Who have lost their lives in a really tragic way. So, yeah, we still have, you know, grave markers and headstones and those sort of things. But, you know, as kind of a visual record of their loved one's life and, yeah, their unfortunate demise, these hours have taken on kind of a special place and significance in the lives of these families. And I'm seeing that more and more as we tell these stories in the second season.
You know, and that wouldn't happen unless they felt comfortable with you. Talk about the approach to an interview. You were talking to people to bring up memories of the worst days of their lives. Talk about the approach you go in, because they're comfortable with you and they will share with you.
Yeah. Well, that's, you know, as you look at the recipe for these shows and why these shows are successful, I mean, obviously, true crime is a genre that people can't seem to get enough of it. And, you know, we've got a 24/7 channel that's devoted to crime. We're producing 650 original hours a year. That's a huge lift, but we do it because the audience is demanding it. We've got other channels in the landscape who are flipping formats to take on true crime because it is absolutely the hottest genre. And I got to tell you, for me, my approach has always been to know as much as I can. There's a tricky balance here, to know as much as I can about a story and then, in an odd way, to still be surprised, right?
Yes, yes.
And I think that when you know as much as I like to know going into a story and you start asking questions, you are surprised oftentimes. You may think that you know where a story is going, and then you learn information, bits, pieces, details that take you in different directions, directions that you didn't expect. And you're traveling down roads, whoa, I didn't see this coming. And that happened time and time again with the show. And I don't know, I'm a Baltimore kid, and there's not an aspect of crime that we cover in this show that I have not covered from an anchor desk, covered as a reporter, that hasn't been visited upon my family at some point. So my approach is to meet people where they live. It always has been my approach, and you know, that's worked well for me, I think.
We're talking with Tony Harris, Scene of the Crime with Tony Harris. Tony, by the way, an Emmy Award-winning news anchor, filmmaker, investigative journalist. The new season on Investigation Discovery, Sundays 10 Eastern, 9 Central. Let's talk about the upcoming episode, which takes place in a small East Texas town. Talk about this because it's interesting. You end up going to a prison to actually talk with the person who was accused and convicted of this crime.
Rick, this is, you end up saying this a lot when you are in the true crime space. This is really a heartbreaking story. This is a story about a guy, Lonnie Turner Sr., who we literally need more of in the country today. We need more Lonnie Turner Sr.s on the planet right now. This is a guy who was an absolute icon of his community. He was the owner of a funeral home. He was an African-American man, and he owned the African-American funeral home in that small town, right? But this is a guy, through the force of his personality, the strength of his character, was able to make connections throughout the community of Navasota. He was beloved by everyone, white, black. When you hear the editor of the local newspaper, who I interviewed for this week's episode, talk about Lonnie Turner Sr., it's just heartbreaking. This guy was everything you want in a community leader. And we've got such a vacuum of leadership in this country. So for this guy to be killed in the way that he was, in his own home, as he was sleeping, it's just devastating. And then when we peel back the layers and you take a look at the amazing investigative work done by the detectives that worked this case, the DA that prosecuted this case, the twists and turns, the rabbit holes they were sent down, the number of people they had to interview to get to the bottom of this case, one of the things I'm proudest of is that we highlight the amazing work of detectives in the second season, even more so if I can say that, in the first season. We really dig in with these detectives, and they're terrific. And so this is a particularly moving episode. It touches me personally because as a black man, I just see just a dearth of real black leadership in the country. And Lonnie Turner Sr. was one of those guys that we need more of today.
As you're getting into the story, there are answers you're not getting. You want to hear more. And like I say, you go to the prison to actually confront the person who was there. Now, talk about how you prepare for that. It's not like talking to a victim. Here's somebody that's probably going to dance around and maybe not give you direct answers. How do you prepare to talk to someone who's in prison, convicted of a horrific crime?
Here's what you have to do. And everyone has a different approach, I'm sure, but I try to connect with their humanity. I try to, if it's there, if it's there.
Yes.
What I attempt to do is to connect to their humanity. And you're talking about J.D. White, and I go and I interview J.D. White in prison in Texas. And he's still a young man. He committed this crime when he was a young man. He is still a young man. And I literally just try to walk him through his life and how his life went off track and how it is he came to victimize a man who cared for him, who loved him, who tried to help him, who gave him work. How do you victimize this man? And while he while it's difficult and it's tricky and it's hard and he wants to stay with his story, I think at the end of that, what I think you see is that on some level, on some very slim level, I'm able to connect to his humanity and maybe revisit what was human in him at one point and what his life was like before he turned to crime.
It's where we started talking about it's not just a murder show, a murder series. You get into a number of issues, and I'm really looking forward to hearing that interview. And it sounds like he learned something about himself probably. It was like a psychiatric visit when he's sitting there with you and going back and exploring his life. Time goes by too quickly. A couple minutes left in the program. We first talked a few years ago when you were doing the Hate in America series. And I'm thinking back on that. And I'm thinking where we are now. Have we made any progress?
Oh, Rick. Oh, my God. I remember that conversation so vividly. And what I remember telling you is that, you know, I had that opportunity, and such is the case with Scene of the Crime, of going into small towns, and with the Hate in America show, it was bigger cities as well. And the front row seat it gave me to all of the angst, the anxiety, the anger that was in America. And all I can tell you is, it's what we talked about then, times 10, times 20. I mean, the anger, the resentment, the grievances that are being expressed right now from Democrats, from Republicans, being expressed through President Trump right now. I'm not surprised. I remember talking to Heidi Byrick from the Southern Poverty Law Center for the Hate in America series, and I remember her so vividly telling me that it's not going to get better, Tony. It's going to get worse. And, you know, we're at this place now where everyone feels they've got a grievance and they need to shout it from the mountaintop. And people are just talking past each other.
Yes.
And that's really distressing to me, because my work is all about sitting down and trying to find connective tissue with people. And so when I'm trying to do what I feel is like my calling, my life work, what I'm getting back is just anger and rage and frustration. And I'm trying to figure out ways to work people past that and figure out a way to bring folks together. And I know that sounds trite, but that's,
boy,
I wish you the best of luck.
This is just, it's amazing. I was thinking for a while, we've come so far, and then you look at it now. In fact, it's interesting, as people choose news sources now, I'm convinced they're not looking for information. They're looking for affirmation. They will watch or listen to whatever source will reinforce what they're saying.
You got it. That's it. And, you know, I just hope we can get to a place. And it's cyclical. I understand that. I've been doing it long enough to know that these things work in cycles. We'll find a place. There'll be something that brings us together. There'll be an episode. Hopefully it's not a horrific episode. Hopefully it's not another 9/11 type event. But there'll be an event that provides an opportunity for us to start to stitch ourselves together again as a nation. We're just not there yet.
I am out of time. In fact, I'm over time. It happens all the time when we're talking with Tony. Scene of the Crime with Tony Harris. You'll see it on Investigation Discovery. It's season 2, Sundays 10 Eastern, 9 Central. Tony, it is always a pleasure. We need to do this again. Thank you so much for coming back on the program.
Rick, you are terrific. Thank you for being so well prepared all the time. Thanks for asking such wonderful questions, and have me back anytime. It's always a pleasure.
Thank you so much. You're listening to This Week in America online, thisweekinamerica.us.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.
Want to fly somewhere? Looking for cheap flights or cheap tickets?
Then call.
That's right. Call the low-cost airline travel hotline now for prices so low, we can't publish them anywhere. Low-cost airlines has all kinds of cheap travel deals. Fly domestically and save up to 75%. You can even fly internationally and save even more. Yes, fly anywhere in the world and save a lot of money on your plane tickets. We'll even save you money with cheap travel deals on hotels, rental cars, even complete travel packages. So don't book your tickets until you call us first for the absolute cheapest prices on U.S. and international airline tickets and hotels. Call right now for prices so low they can't be published. Travel experts are here 24/7 to help.
Call 800-298-0306, 800-298-0306, 800-298-0306, 800-298-0306.
Do you owe back taxes to the IRS? Newsflash, the president has changed the tax laws, and now you may be able to pay the IRS less. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, the tax doctor can help you pay the IRS as little as possible allowed by law. There are new tax laws for business owners, the self-employed, even W-2 workers. If you have a back tax problem or a few years of unfilled returns, new help to save you money is now here. Call right now to see how the new tax laws can help you. Plus, right now we'll waive the consultation fee and give you a free tax savings report. Attention business owners, the self-employed, and W-2 workers. Make this free call to the tax doctor now and learn how to take advantage of the new tax laws that may help you pay the IRS less.
800-659-5731. 800-659-5731. 800-659-5731. That's 800-659-5731.
This is an urgent health notice for all residents suffering from back, neck, knee, and wrist pain. You may qualify for a pain-relieving brace at little or no cost to you, but the deadline is fast approaching. Simply call the Health Alert Hotline now.
You heard right. You may qualify for a pain-relieving back, neck, knee, or wrist brace. These items may even be covered by Medicare or your private insurance. The Health Alert Hotline is your brace company. These specialized braces have been tested for pain relief. Call us toll-free right now to determine your eligibility and to learn how to use your private insurance or Medicare to minimize your out-of-pocket cost. Don't wait. If the deadline passes, you may lose your opportunity to get a pain-relieving back, neck, knee, or wrist brace at little or no cost to you.
800-430-9605. 800-430-9605. 800-430-9605. That's 800-430-9605.
Let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody. This Week in America, coast to coast and online at thisweekinamerica.us. Actor, voiceover artist, producer Ian Ziering started landing national commercials at age 12. That led to roles in soap operas, The Guiding Light, and stage plays including I Remember Mama on Broadway. And that role that changed his life made him an international heartthrob, Steve Sanders, in the monster hit series Beverly Hills 90210, only one of four series regulars to appear on the show for its entire duration, numerous television and film roles, and now Finn Shepard in the Sharknado film series and the voice of Vinny in the animated Biker Mice from Mars, a contestant on Dancing with the Stars, Vegas headliner, and for years he's ridden motorcycles on the road, more recently off-road. He's teamed with motorcycles.org to promote riding safety and education. Ian Ziering joining us on This Week in America. Welcome to the program. It's great to have you with us.
Thanks, Rick. Thanks so much for that introduction. Boy, you really covered my whole entertainment resume there. I appreciate
well, and
that.
And you're
exactly
still...
My mother would have written it.
You're still going strong. In fact, she sent it to me and said to tell you hello and make sure you, you're eating properly. We're going to touch on the motorcycle aspect of this, and I know this relationship with motorcycles.org is really important to you. Talk about this relationship and why you're really focused on safety for riders.
Well, you know what? As a celebrity, I look at celebrity like capital. And rather than wasting that capital, if I could help raise awareness, if I could use that capital to raise awareness or help others that maybe are in need through charity work or whatever, then I think that's good use of the capital. I absolutely love motorcycle riding. I think it's an incredible sport. Motorsports of any type are tons of fun, but motorcycle riding is serious fun. And the serious part starts with training and education. The motorcycles.org or myfirstride.org would be the first place someone would go to if they're going to get a motorcycle to find the proper training. And right now, there's dirt bike school available to people and kids as young as 6 years old. If I had that kind of training when I was 6 years old, then maybe my mom would have let me have a dirt bike. And the YZ80 at the time was what I just lusted after. Oh my God, everything was about that motorcycle, but I never had it. And now Yamaha's come out with a YZ65 that is just amazing. It's like a mini supercross bike, and it's spectacular.
You know, it's interesting that you've been doing this for years, motorcycles, and you start riding off-road. The first thing you did was went back to school. That training is crucial, even if you're an experienced rider like you are.
Absolutely. Training is crucial. If you're going to have a long journey on a motorcycle from the first ride through your end of your days, then you want to make sure you're prepared for that. And the best way to do that is with a training course, a rider course, from the Motorcycle Safety Foundation. On top of that, having the right gear is also important because the bike and the technology has gotten to the point where it's as good as it gets. But then it's on you. So having the right gear is important, the right shoes, the right suit for whatever you're going to ride. I'm wearing an adventure suit right now, and it's high-tech fabrics that are just about space age. Inside them, they're lined with body armor that are made of light composite materials that go a long way to protect the individual wearing them in the event that there is a spill. The helmet technology is just amazing. I have in my hands right now the Shoei Hornet, and it is, I don't know, maybe 3 pounds, between 3 and 4 pounds, if that. It's so light, and it offers so much protection. It's got the DOT seal of approval on it back there, so it's safety certified. And it's available now where, when I was a kid, the only helmets people wore were the ones that kind of like strapped to the top of their head like a beanie.
Yes,
kind of.
Yes.
But now there's full face helmets and gloves and boots. And you know what? If you're going to get on a motorcycle, use your head. And if you use your head properly by taking the right courses and getting the right gear, then you'll keep that head on your shoulders and enjoy motorcycle riding for miles and miles with nothing but smiles.
And you may enjoy it riding to work. And we've got Ride to Work Day on Monday, June 18th, 27th annual celebration, promoting having some fun and adventure on your way to work. I'm looking at this, and some people may decide, you know, I saved gas. I didn't have any problems finding a parking place. It was a lot easier to park. This may start a whole new trend for somebody.
Right. This is the 27th year of the National Ride to Work Day. In the United States, there's over 28 million people riding motorcycles, and this is a great day for people to trade in their car for their bike and turn their boring commute into more of an adventure, more fun. There's bikes out there right now that have packs and cases on it, so if you bring a lot to work, you can bring it to work with you and bring it home. And then just the fact that you're on two wheels is always exhilarating. It's always, when I'm on my motorcycle, I feel so connected with my environment. I feel so hyper aware of everything that's going on around me, not just to be safe, but because the exposure to it is just enlightening. And I love motorcycle riding.
Got about a minute left. Talk about what we as drivers can do to be more aware of motorcycles. And you see this from the other side out there watching and probably shaking your head at some of the knucklehead things that drivers do. What can we do to be more aware?
You just have to be more vigilant. You know, you have to share the road with motorcycles.
Well, there's nothing in the world quite like riding a motorcycle. You'll find information at motorcycles.org. Ian Ziering with us on the program, teaming with motorcycles.org, promoting motorcycle safety. Great to have you with us on the program. Thank you for sharing all that information today.
Thank you so much, Rick. Really nice talking to you.
You're welcome. Thank you. You're listening to This Week in America online, thisweekinamerica.us.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.